There are moments when life just shifts without warning. One day, everything seems normal. The next, you're standing in a hospital room realizing that you've become the caregiver to a loved one. No one or nothing really can prepare you for that. You'll end up probably having sleepless nights, constantly worrying, are things that I'm doing the right thing? Are things going wrong? You end up putting your needs on the back burner because someone that you love needs you more. But what happens when you run out of gas yourself? That's where people like our guest today, Dan Contreras, comes in. After years of serving others through his time in the military and his work with DAV, he found himself on the other side, caring for his wife through cancer while helping build DAV's caregiver support program from the ground up. His story is one of love, endurance, and rediscovering purpose through service, even when life feels overwhelming. Before we get into the story, though, I do want to take a moment to raise awareness for something else that's deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians who are impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial will serve as both a tribute to those who served and as a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you'd like to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit GWAPMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you here, and I'm looking forward to talking about what DAV has going on and everything that you guys are doing over there. But, you know, first off, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Scott. And yes, I mean, DAV has so much that's going on, and I like the focus today that we're going to center on the caregiving aspect of it. It's probably one of our latest and greatest programs that we just kicked off as far as a couple years ago, and then we dedicated an entire department to it now, and so it continues to expand. And I'm so grateful to you, the show, the listeners, to give us an opportunity to talk about this program.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, as you mentioned, DAV does so many things. I don't think we could possibly cover all of them in any great detail in any one episode. It's probably a month's worth of episodes just to cover all the things that you guys do. But so, like you said, we're going to be kind of sharing a little bit about the caregiver program and all the things that you guys do with that. But this caregiver program kind of touches you a little bit more on a personal level. Can you share a little bit about your personal journey and kind of what led you to kind of become a caregiver yourself and how this program would help someone like yourself?
Well, the advent of our program, like I said, was 2 years ago, but my caregiving role happened when my wife was diagnosed with cancer a little over 5 years ago. And in that evolution process, of course, as she was seeking further treatment and having chemo or radiation or surgical procedures, that role started to expand and even expands even more so now with some not only things that are relatable to the cancer, but also things that are residually related now. I mean, you've got pain management, you have, you know, different types of treatment as far as wound care or different things like that. That, and fortunately, I mean, I have a nursing background, so I had a lot of experience, but not directly with my spouse. And so the introduction of our program opened up on the basis that DAV had advocated for caregivers for a long time. And even legislative-wise, you know, was one of our huge platform wins that we were able to get the Department of Veterans Affairs to recognize those hidden heroes, the ones who are taking care of our veterans and really putting aside their own pursuit, their ambitions, their even their recreational activities and things that we take for granted, that that our caregivers are having to put that to the side, or really doing without an education, doing with different things. So DAV was very instrumental in making sure that legislative-wise we were able to do that. But then, as DAV does, it's like, wait a minute, you know what? What about veterans who are taking care of loved ones? You know, is there anything there for them? So our program evolved on the basis of, you know, VA does a lot, and we help veterans, and as far as loved ones, mitigate that system, and that's what we're there for too, our service programs. And I mean, DAVcaregivers.org, that will go ahead and be the conduit to other things, because our care specialists will be there to help and provide information regarding resources and things like that. But getting back to just as the national commander of the organization, which was just, you know, a trek for 6 years to get to that point to where I was then the primary spokesperson for the organization. But I was now talking about anecdotal stories about caregivers and different aspects of things that our new caregiver program could provide. And so lo and behold, I'm at a briefing, and at this briefing, program was one of the topics. And so I was sitting there with the director of service, and I know him very well, and he knows me, he knows my world, he knows what's going on with Teresa. And he says, "Have you signed up?" And I was like, "I have not." And he goes, "Why not?" And I was like, you know what? I don't really label myself as a caregiver in all these resources. He put it on his laptop, our caregiver, DAVcaregiversupport.org, and he said, "Sign up, Dan." And so I was just like, all right, you know what? Here I am professing this all over the country. I need to see what this is all about myself. I mean, I know DAV does great things. I know that what we put ourselves into is always going to be something that's going to be beneficial to our members, to those who are receiving our services. And so I decided I would go through that process and to really convey this to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was taking this little survey, it didn't take very long, maybe 5-10 minutes, but it asks you a battery of questions that you can't escape the truth. You know, how does this affect you? How does this affect your loved one? Like, let's even talk about memory, you know, what scope of memory loss is there with your loved one? And so you look at that, but then at the end of this, it gives you like a high and low of those specific areas in which are impacting you or impacting your loved one. And so I was just, at first, you know, it was something that I knew a lot of these things were going on. And I knew that for the most part, they were pretty much self-inflicted, because those are my choices. That's what, I want to do. And then the next thing you do is go ahead and schedule an appointment. So I figured, a couple weeks, 3 weeks, who knows? The next morning, Scott, 7:30 in the morning, and it was supposed to be for 30 minutes, and I had the most poignant, just compassionate conversation with someone that, you know, I've got to be strong with Teresa. I've got to go ahead and play that role of just strength. And so for me to express this to anybody, you know, in the way it did, and I'm not going to lie, you know, it brought out puddles of tears, because I was able to just finally really release. And then the person told me that they're my care specialists from now on. And we started talking about the things that were within the program, the resources, the things that they could help me with on a mental health basis, or even community engagement as far as resources from a morale standpoint. I mean, we talked about the things that we could collaborate and do together, like with me and Teresa. You know, she was an eco-adventure person. We hiked Machu Picchu and did the Amazon and just, I mean, all kinds of different things. But now, you know, we're like, what can we find that we can combine and have fun to do? Well, listen, I make like Turkish lamps now, and I paint, and I just, you know, do Lego projects and different things like that. But it's just having that conversation with the care specialist is it was kind of that catalyst to that. And so, you know, and again, it's a case by case basis. Each person is individually unique in their ways and their needs and what's going on. Because I even talked about, like, with our service program, you know, that might be something that's stressing them out because they really don't even understand their benefits. I mean, California, 1.8 million veterans, and less than 35% are receiving benefits, you know. So outreach is such an important part of it. And we use this as a way to find other avenues, resources, things that they can do. But I mean, if it's something that like it requires some work around the house and that caregiver isn't able to do that, then we rally, you know, with our local veterans assistance program, maybe, because that's something that we can do, you know, find volunteers to go and alleviate some of those things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that you mentioned that, you know, you did have some medical background from your military time, you have some background with that. And you know, so you are maybe a little bit better off than some other folks who are starting off from scratch. They have nothing and no medical background whatsoever, other than, you know, knowing how to put a Band-Aid on or, you know, that type of thing.
Yes. But,
you know, that's, you know, the extent of, you know, what some people are coming into this caregiver role. And sometimes that role is a night and day. You might go to bed one night and not be in that caregiver role and wake up the next morning and all of a sudden here you are, you know, because of something that happened maybe overnight, or, you know, it could happen just that quickly. And it's not like, oh, well, I got years to prepare for that. You know, that could be a tomorrow thing for some folks. And you just don't know what you don't know when it comes to things like what benefits are available, what are your responsibilities as a caregiver, what are you going to need to have to be able to do? And you won't know that until you're in that situation, because you don't know what is that person that you're providing care for? What are they capable of doing? And what do they need some assistance with? Is it, you know, is it a full-time thing where you have to constantly be around the person because they're not mobile and they can't do things for themselves? Or is it, you know, I hate to use full-time, part-time, but is it more of a part-time kind of thing where it's just, you know, checking in on them a couple times a day and just making sure that they're able to get their meals and things like that? You know,
it could be a wide range, right? Yeah, it can. And recently she had just a severe exacerbation of her pain, so much so, I mean, I am medication managing and, you know, doing other things as well, but also, yeah, understanding that as a caregiver, certainly that's my role, but the resources to talk to somebody who can go ahead and align you with like local facilities and things that can teach you those different things to have safety with medications and to have, you know, just the avenues for, if you go into the higher levels of medication, maybe Narcan and how to use Narcan or different things like that. But I mean, it comes to the point where, yeah, you have to learn these things. And I think that's an element that you talk about with that care specialist about, these are the things that you're uncomfortable with. And maybe there's some guidance, but also there's reassurance that you're not alone. Like you said, you know, I mean, a lot of individuals end up in this role and never expected that they were going to have to evolve. But I think I've evolved even more so, even past what you know, my experience was in the military, because in 2000, I left the military and really didn't get, I mean, as a national service officer, we are in tune with a lot of things in as far as chart reviews and medical terminology and different, you know, residual conditions of aspects of things. But the actual hands-on, the actual, when you look at the process that happens with someone as their condition degenerates and maybe it can be a mental health thing, you know, yeah. where you really have to be present and understand that at some point, you know, they're asking you to intervene, to take an active role. And this is something that I recently was on vacation and my sister-in-law was with us, and she wanted to do a dressing change for Teresa. And I was like, I got it. This is where, you know, but come to find out, you know, they want to play an active role too. They want to help, yeah. but also to help me, you know, give Dan a break too, you know? And sure. So I've got to go ahead and understand that maybe I'm pushing myself to a certain limit and extension. So that's what our caregiver support program does as well. And recently at our winter sports clinic, and as well as our disabled veterans golf clinic, we incorporated a caregiver breakout session, and we started to give them a little bit of respite, because we know that they're off and, you know, doing their adaptive sport, whatever it is that they're doing. But how can we help them communicate to others how they are accomplishing their day-to-day activities? And you can see that this was something that, again, our organization is evolving. We don't have all the answers. What we're hoping is to get that feedback from caregivers on how can we help you? How can we give you respite? How can we maybe pamper you with you know, a spa day, or, you know, do something like that? Because honestly, I like a spa day. but it's you know, one of the things too is I know that she has a community too that is her, it's her way of giving back, honestly. Like, so with her cancer support group, she gives back because she's a conduit for them for information about some of the treatments she's going through, the side effects and different things like that. In the same respect, you know, they are that for her. You know, that's that community that can, and I promote that. I want her to be engaged in that. And so where my role comes in, you know, where my strength comes in is just being able to, one, identify her needs, but also identify where maybe I don't fit that mold. And that's where, sure. you know, talking to the care specialists, this is where I can go ahead and have that conversation. And maybe next time my sister-in-law can go ahead and get engaged and get involved and give me a little bit of break, or, you know, so what we tend to do, and you can understand this, is that we tend to believe that we can just put our own lives on hold while we act as this caregiver. You're going to burn yourself out. I mean, yep. caregiver burnout, both from loved ones who take care of veterans and veterans who are taking care of, it's there, you know, mm-hmm. And so you have to find that outlet. You know, and ask me, like, you know, what do I do in order to just, well, you know, one of the things I love to do is sing. And so I'm on this app called Smule. I love to sing. And so that's, you know, one of my releases. But I also, you know, kind of get deep into the lyrics and just like think about them from a, you know, from that standpoint, you know, how they touch sure. me. And so it's my escape, you know, and by singing, listening, and doing things like that. But so I encourage everyone to just kind of like, one, find something that you can do together, you know, mm-hmm. just even simple walks. And because I'll tell you, the confinement of home, and where, you know, I know Teresa spends a lot of time in our bedroom. So we dangle carrots. You know, we're going on a train trip later this week just to go up the coast and spend a couple of days, you know, at a just a place right on the beach, just get a couple dinners in it and come back home. But it's that escape. You need that, you know, and so
yeah, that's to kind important. Of break up that monotony where it's just the same thing day after day after day. Eventually it's like, what are we doing here? You know, and you
gotta
take a break away from that. And to your point, you have to take care of yourself too. And I think a lot of us have the mindset, especially the veteran folks who might be listening to this, where we're just going to take care of everything and we'll be able to handle everything. And you know, that's probably fine in a short-term situation when you're in the middle of an immediate emergency situation. Yeah, you probably can put your needs on hold. Yeah, you don't need to go eat lunch right now, or you don't need to go, take a shower right now, or do the, you know, singing like you said, or you don't need to go do those things right now because you got this emergency that right now you have to go handle. But when life becomes the emergency, when it's day after day after day, month and year after year, and you can't put it on hold forever. Yeah, you can probably do it for a few minutes, maybe a couple hours, something like that. Maybe even for the rest of the day, you can put your needs on hold. But eventually, you're going to have to pick those things back up, and you're going to have to start taking care of yourself. And it's, you know, that classic example of when you get on an airplane and they say, you know, put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. You're not going to be any use to those other people if you're passed out because you didn't put your mask on, right?
Right.
So you have to be able to take care of yourself, and unapologetically, you have to be able to take care of yourself, because then otherwise you won't be able to take care of that person that you want to take care of, and at least not as well as you want to be able to take care of them. And so that's why I think programs like this, like the caregiver support program that you guys have is so important, because it gives that a little bit of flexibility. It gives some space so that people can be able to, you know, take care of themselves, but also have that sounding board and have somebody there to be able to, you know, kind of provide resources or help point you in the right direction, at least if it's not something directly that the AV has to offer. You know, it might be some other organization, the VA or somewhere else that you have, you know, that can provide these types of resources. Now, for the listeners who are hearing all this, and maybe some of them themselves are caregivers or are having care provided to them, you know, one side of the coin or the other, I'm sure some of them are wondering, you know, who qualifies for this caregiver support
program? That's a good point.
And
that's a good point.
Who can take advantage of these services? And I don't mean take advantage in a negative way, but who has access to these types of services?
Yeah, and just to quickly touch on what you were talking about, It's we have to discover that limits are not weaknesses. They actually are wisdom. If you think about how you have to take care of somebody and you do the wrong thing because you are too proud and not want to reach out and find support, find help, because if you're not any good, then you're not going to be able to be there, be present. But who qualifies? It's so awesome because I talked about this. Is that in the onset of our advocacy for caregivers, DAV was doing on a legislative basis in supporting loved ones who were helping veterans. So there's one as far as demographic. The other one is veterans or children or ones or anyone who's helping a veteran can qualify under that loved one helping a veteran. And so, you know, we've always considered ourselves an organization of inclusion. You know, we'll always find an avenue because we even have our auxiliary that provides support. And the auxiliary is made up of those who are really advocates and want to be volunteers and participate in the community of assisting veterans. And then, you know, we even have our local veterans assistance program where you don't even have to be a veteran. You just want to help veterans in some way, shape, or form. So for our caregiver support program, you know, those are the demographics that are there. So essentially, you know, it's wide open to the opportunity to to examine the use within the programs that we have in our organization. And through it, like I said, you can understand a lot of the other, you know, conduits and support that our organization can provide. One of the interesting things is that early on in my career with DAV, we just celebrated last year 10-year anniversary of our recruit military, our DAV job program in our association with recruit military, doing job fairs and virtually. And so important to note, even with that program, spouses can utilize our job program to help them find career opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. So we've always evolved because we'll help veterans, of course, mitigate the VA process and also voc rehab and other avenues that are veteran centric. But the ones that DAV does is typically a little more of a broader demographic that we use, as well as, like I said, with spouses in our job program, and then also with, like, my case where I'm a veteran helping a loved one, and so DAV Caregiver Support Program is there for me.
Yeah, and that's great that it's such a wide range of folks that are able to be helped through this, because ultimately, you know, as a organization centered on helping veterans, it's important to recognize that their loved ones are kind of a part of them too. So the loved ones of a veteran are a big piece of who they are. And if those people are hurting, then the veteran's probably hurting in one way or another. And, you know, maybe not the same physical pain, you know, like you're describing some of the pain that your wife was going through, but it still hurts, you know, from an emotional level, and you know, your mental health probably suffers a little bit because of, you know, watching the things that your loved ones have to go through. And it's just a, you know, another way to help make that life just that much easier for the veteran and their families. So, you know, it's great that it kind of works on both sides of the coin, you know, regardless of where that veteran falls, that there's someone there that's going to be able to help. Now, one of the things that you had mentioned, and I wanted to bring this up, I forgot about it earlier, but you mentioned, you know, like if someone is, they're not at their 100%, or they're not giving their best effort because they're basically pouring from an empty cup. They've given everything that they have, and they haven't taken that time to re-energize or rejuvenate or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And they're helping out with things, they're providing a caregiver role, and they're helping out with things that they need to be really focused and pay attention to, like dosing out medications and things like that. If you're not at 100%, I know I've had to do this before in my life. I've had to, you know, kind of work out some medications, and sometimes it's complicated. So it's not always the same dosage every single day. Sometimes it's like this day you take this dose, and next day you take a different dose. And,
right.
and you have to
right.
really pay attention to what it is that you're doing in order to make sure that you have the right amount, so that they're not either taking too much or too little of whatever the yeah. medication is, because you could end up harming that person yeah. in one way or the other. If they're taking too much or too little, that could be a problem. So, you know, it's important. What it is that you guys are offering is important, and taking
For
care
sure.
of yourself is not selfish. It's yeah. it's actually critical. It's necessary in order to be able to provide the care that your loved one deserves, right?
Yeah. And I mean, and it's important to find space to kind of give yourself a little bit of credit yourself. I mean, it's not like you have to do this, but by encouraging and being that advocate, you're also internalizing it to a certain degree. However, by documenting it and going through that process, because there's been a point where I've helped Teresa's through a process of advocating for herself. And so much so that sometimes you have to even go to the patient advocacy department of a facility in order to make things happen. Well, mm-hmm. if we memorialize what's happening, then it's more constructive, and you can, I think, have a better voice and maybe better action on the part of the advocate. But that's the attunement, the alignment that you have in order to be able to be a strong advocate and a presence that sometimes Teresa's a smarty girl. She had a excellent career with her, you know, her professional life, and even went back to college afterwards. And so I know that stepping back and giving her basically, you know, she steers the ship. Even her oncologist has deemed that as far as our approach, because she studies and she knows the processes of what's going on, what trials that are going on, and what the scope is of her genetic profile. And I mean, and so to allow, or not to allow, but just to understand, you know, that independence is so important, and to appreciate their proactivity. She's in the 15th percentile of survivors after 5 years for the type of cancer that she has. The reason that is because of her strength. Because I'm telling you, gosh, chemo symptoms and the side effects and the pain that she goes through and all these things, I don't think I could do it. I mean, she tells me I could, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm a baby. The pain and things, but like I said, just, you know, giving yourself just this understanding, because it's made me humble in life. You know, I used to really, you know, the proverbial little things were things because of, like, you know, we're in the military structure, we've got, you know, just the policy adherence and all these different things. But then you're like, man, does all that really matter when it comes down to just being present and just allowing yourself to just reflect on good times? Because we do. Yeah. We have good times. We certainly do. And we make more good times. We dangle the carrot, you know, trip coming up this weekend. We've got some other stuff that, you know, we dangle the carrot with. We were recently on a trip and just talking about things. It was really interesting about, like, things that our bucket list things that we've never done or experienced. And so we're sitting there because we had to do room service and we had to just kind of stay in the room because there was no way we could control the pain or anything like that. But so she asked me, had I ever tried Dom Perignon, the champagne, you know? And I was like, no. I said, have you? And she's like, no. She goes, I want to try it, you know? And I'm like, let's try it. So then we started, like, researching the history of Dom Perignon, which was a monk. And, you know, he got into the specialty of just really how to dissect a grape and, you know, leave the skin touching out. I mean, it got into really cool. And so we were then, and she goes, let's get a bottle. And so we're looking at where can we buy one. So we're in Mexico coming back, and we now have determined that at the duty free store we could get a bottle of Dom Perignon. And so so now we have this bottle of Dom Perignon. We're gonna go on a trip into it, you know, later this year, and take it with us and have this special occasion. So it's just, you know, little things like that, you know, just dangle the carrot. Your life is a balance when you have this ability to be in line with somebody, but sometimes they're going to pull you to the extreme north or south, and you've got to go on that journey because you love that person. And if they could, they'd bring you back to balance. But that's where I feel like, you know, the journey is something that we're both on, and I will, you know, stay on this journey with her. We're still trying to find the miracle, the trials, the, you know, just the different things. But if I can make her day just a little bit better, if I can help her in any way, and of course with talking with my care specialist, there are ways, you know, like the craft stuff that we do, like the things that I'm able to do to advocate for her, but also be present is the number one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's important to have somebody to go on that journey with together, you know, so so that way you don't feel alone. If you're the person who's in need of the care, you don't want to feel all alone, like you've got to take this on all on your own and you have nobody in your corner, because that gets very lonely and, you know, it makes it that much more difficult. And so, but same thing on the flip side for the caregiver, knowing that you're not going through this alone either is important too. And the two of you working together as a team, that's great. Experiencing these fun and enjoyable things, the things that you guys like to do, and even coming up with that, you know, the bucket list, the, you know, proverbial bucket list.
Yeah.
And just doing those things. It's like, hey, I've always wanted to. Hey, why not? Let's just do these things, right?
Exactly.
And so those are great. But also knowing that there's somebody outside of the two of you who's there to provide some sort of support in one form or another. And that's actually brought up another question that I'm sure some of the listeners are having. As far as the caregiver support program, what are some of the specific things that these folks are able to provide in terms of support? And I know each circumstance is going to be different, so not everyone's going to need every single thing that's possible. But what are some of the kind of just broad terms of stuff that the caregiver support program is able to provide to folks who find themselves in need?
Well, this is what's really special about this program is because when you have a conversation with the care specialists, they not only identify your needs, but they identify where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so they can go ahead within your own community, come up with avenues of support. So if it's a morale welfare thing, or if it's an activity that you need help around the house with, it, even on a whim, there's been incidents or occasions where somebody needed immediate support. Well, the resources within our organization under our local veterans assistance program contacted our local veterans assistance program. We have chapters like all over the country, and we have departments like mine in California that have an array of services directly in our own states with volunteers from those chapters in those specific communities who will rise to the occasion and give them the support. So, I mean, we talked about the mental health side of it. It's such an important part of it. They can direct you to clinical services. They can direct you to the services within DAV if it's claims work, if it's volunteer work that you need. They can direct you to community events that you might both want to engage in, like I talked about, you know, with the crafts and different things like that. There's a ceramic thing that Teresa and I are looking at, you know, going to get into and bring a bottle of wine and make a jar or something. I don't know. But, but you know, so, and then, of course, the safety aspect of things, they can direct you to that, because a caregiver is not some kind of certification program or anything like that. And as we talked about it, it's so unique. And my role has definitely expanded as her condition has progressed and other aspects of her care have evolved because of that. But I mean, like I said, it's going to be the ask. That's the most important part of it. And DAV with its the wide array of services that we have that are already professionally ingrained services, but then also just the generosity of our time and the presence of our chapters in every single state in the nation is an opportunity for another way that we can help a caregiver. And if there's something that's unique and different and that we want to know about that as well, because the program can only grow on the basis of its needs. And if somebody presents a different type of need, then that's where we can, one, try to establish some support services for them, but also understand that this is something that we need to have on board. And now we have basically a catalog of a new way of how we can support caregivers.
Right. Yeah, because if one person is asking for this, chances are there's other people who are looking for it and just haven't asked for it yet. And so if it's sure. something that you can bring up and it now becomes kind of institutionalized in this program that it's, hey, now this is something that it's on our radar. We know that this is something that we can offer to folks. It just makes the whole program so much better.
And you know, I mean, you if you just put it like even in a broader spectrum, it could be emotional, it could be mm-hmm. physical, and it could even be spiritual because so much happens in the scope of your daily activities, but also for you and for your loved one that you're going through all of these different types of challenges. I mean, I know when she was first diagnosed, I just wanted to bust out and just really just weep. And Teresa, I told her, she's strong. Mm-hmm. She was already in the mode of how we mitigate this. How do we go step by step in the process of trying to go after this illness, this condition, this disease. And so that's where the emotional strength, you know, has to come in from my point of view to be strong there for her. But I think that the physical aspect can also be there as well, because, you know, we were talking about transfers, you're talking about, you know, helping them. I've seen challenges like at the airport where I just know she's not going to really do well going from one area to another. And so it's kind of like, okay, you know, you got to call porter service and get that on board. And you know, never believe that would be the case for her. But you just rise to that moment. Is like, what's in the best interest of them? And sometimes you just, that can be daily, that could be weekly, that could be monthly, that could be just something that evolves and you just slowly see that transition. And you, but to be able to have that network to talk to individuals, because I mean, I tried group dynamics and I just didn't find them to be effective for me. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're not, because they certainly are. I think we could even credit Teresa's group dynamics to probably saving her life. Sure. Because she had given up, no chemo, I don't want nothing. But then she realized that everybody was taking chemo like daily medication. It was the way to sustain and hold back the disease, maybe not cure it, but certainly because when she was first diagnosed, it wasn't a matter of if it would come back, it was when it would come back. And so those are the things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And something like that, like it at least gives you a fighting chance, right? It may
Absolutely.
Not be, it may not be, like you said, a cure, but it gives you that chance to keep fighting, you know, live to fight another day, basically, and, you know, keep moving forward. And, you know, while that may not necessarily be the cure that you're looking for, it may give you the time for a cure to become available. You know, there's changes in medical science all the time that happen. And, you know, if you just gave up and it was over tomorrow, then who knows what next year will bring and what the year after that could bring, and it could have that cure available for you. And and you know, so keeping your head in the game and, you know, keeping your spirits about you is important. And I think that goes both ways, you know, for the for person sure. receiving the care and also the caregiver. You know, keeping your spirits up are, you know, certainly something that's important, but having someone there who can point you in the right direction so that you're not having to figure out everything all on your own. Someone who's already been there, done that, experienced some of these things through maybe not their own situation with being a caregiver themselves, but through helping other folks, they have this list of resources that will just help in your situation. And even if they don't have that list, they know where to find particular, you know, service or opportunity or event or whatever it is that you might be looking for. And those types of things I think are just super important to help. It's not going to take all the weight off your shoulders, but it'll take the edge off and it'll help you to you know, take a breath and maybe even enjoy some part of life as well.
Yeah.
And be able to continue providing the care that your loved one needs, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, we're not defined by what we lost. You know, we're defined by how we show up for each other. I mean, and that's in everything that we do. It's you know, I've found other avenues to take care of myself. I mean, I think through showing up for her, she shows up for me in ways that just are unique in the way that she can, you know, and I see that and I feel it. When I was thinking of running for national office, the second year in is when she was diagnosed, and I was like, ah, I'm done. You know, I mean, this was our focus. She quit working. I was going to do that. And she told me something that just, I mean, it rings to this day because she's been on that journey with me. She's gone ahead and understood that there's going to be a lot of sacrifices from both of us. But she said that if I stop that pursuit that I have been really, you know, working towards in my own life with the organization, with myself and the pursuit of how could I evolve in this organization further to support the mission and everything that we do, she said that would kill her before anything, you know? And so she's been there for me, and she has been there prior to her cancer for me in a big way. And so it's reciprocating, but it's also just, I know that given a flip side of the circumstances, you know, she would not hesitate to do everything that was necessary or that I needed as well, you know, and that's, you know, that, like I said, it's the caregiving aspect of it. We might not be caregivers ourselves, but we should identify that we know a caregiver. We can go ahead and relate to it on the basis of seeing where maybe they aren't doing something that they used to do, or that they really have to focus on taking care of somebody. Mm-hmm. And so how can we as a community help them? And if they fit within this demographics, then of course refer them to us. I mean, I've been at a meeting where it started out like, how many of you caregivers? And about maybe, you know, in a room of 400 people, 25 people raise their hand, but they are like, wait, keep your hands up. And by the end of it, probably 80% of the room had their hand up, you know, because they were a caregiver, they're getting care, they know a loved one that's a caregiver, they can relate to some of the ways that they can give back to a community to support caregivers. There's just a way of just identifying, because yeah, I mean, growing up, and we talked about this, you know, prior to the show, about like how it can directly impact you at any time, you know, and it's something that it's great to know that there are resources there, you know.
Right.
It's like having insurance, you know. You may not need it, but it's right there. And so our program is there for the exploration. And then again, you know, just that we see you, you know, DAV sees you. I know that we wouldn't have had this program initiated if it wasn't that need was there.
Right.
You know, I mean, it certainly is there. And we've surpassed 2,000 caregivers that we've touched in less than the 2 years that are just a little over 2 years that our program was started, and there's countless of caregivers that we still can touch. And
I'm sure
there's a weird statistic, 70% of military people will be a caregiver some part of their life for 10 years or more.
Oh wow.
You know, and that's heavy to understand that veterans are taking care of loved ones that much. And so, of course, we look at, okay, where's a new way for DAV to provide outreach, to support, to give back to our veterans in a way that is definitely valid, but also, all this is free. You know, you don't have to pay for anything.
Right.
You don't pay for our service work that we do. You don't pay for this caregiver initiative. And let me make sure that the listeners understand this. Not associated with VA at all. You know, it's not something that the caregivers are going to get a monetary support or something, but it's certainly there.
I think all of these programs, like you were just saying, you know, it is sort of like insurance. You know, hopefully you don't need it, but it's there if you do. And,
right.
You know, with the statistic that you gave, that 70% of veterans at one point or another will become a caregiver for 10-ish years or so, like that's a significant amount of somebody's life, you know, at any stage in the game, that's going to be a significant amount of somebody's life becoming a caregiver for that extended period of time. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, when you have, you know, in an immediate emergency, yeah, you can put your own needs on hold for, you know, a few hours, a couple of days, maybe, you know, things like that. But when you're talking about 10 years, if you're going to put life on hold for 10 years and just put everything about you on hold,
right,
to go and focus on providing care, you're going to become a shell of who you once were. You're not going to be the yourself, and you won't be able to provide that care in a meaningful way for an extended period of time like that. So you need the help, you need the support,
right?
And knowing that there is a program there, granted, you may not need it today, you may not need it tomorrow, but knowing that it's there and that there are people there who can provide some assistance when you do need it is definitely great peace of mind to have. And so, you know, I encourage everyone. You mentioned the website earlier, the davcaregivers.org is the website, and I'll have that link in the show notes for folks to check out. And so for the listeners, definitely check that out. If you are in need or somebody you know is in need, send that link to the people that you might know and say, hey, check this out. It's there. It's a resource. It's available for you. If you know you fit that criteria that Dan was talking about earlier, just fill out the form, fill out the information, and get the support. Like you said, it was like basically overnight. You had someone there providing some support,
yeah,
right? So
for sure.
So that could just be a game changer for a lot of people. So again, davcaregivers.org is the website. We'll have it in the show notes. But Dan, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing not only your personal story, you know, which I think was important, but also the all the stuff that DAV is doing with the caregiver support program, and you know, all the stuff that you guys do is just really amazing. And I'm really glad to be able to highlight some of this great work on the show and hopefully raise some awareness for folks who might need it.
Well, thank you, Scott, for elevating this topic. And yes, that simple trip to davcaregiver.org is all you need to do just to take that little battery of an assessment that will open your eyes, really. And so appreciate you and all that you do to get this information, as well as other topics that are central to your initiatives, and being from the military, you know, you can engage in so many different ways as far as like the opportunity to touch those who have already been serving our country in such a profound way is where I found just getting back to the giving aspect of working and being with this organization. It has given me that opportunity. So thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Dan.